Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
One of my favorite Christmas specials is Charlie Brown. I watched it last night. I always save it to almost to the end because it has everything in Charlie Brown. It has feeling down at Christmas, and I know a lot of us work through that every year. We can feel down at Christmas and the struggle to get that Christmas spirit once again, to get it somehow again, and how to keep the real meaning of Christmas in focus, what Christmas means. It's also got the Christmas nativity, the play that they do, which is always special. And then it ends with Hark the Herald Angels Sing, which is one of my favorites. I was driving the car about a week ago, and I heard Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I'm like, the words just really hit me. I mean, the amazing words in these Christmas carols. But it hit me, and I was like, I'm going to talk about that on Sunday. That's a great, just the hymn. So that's what I'm going to actually talk about, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I knew I had what I had to talk about. The song has a very interesting history. I don't know if you know that. Very, very interesting history. Who knows who wrote it? Who wrote Hark? Anybody know? No? Close? It's a W. Wesley, Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley wrote it in 1739, still singing it today, but he wrote a much longer version. John and Charles Wesley started the Methodist movement, John and Charles. Charles did the music, John did the preaching, but actually, well, I'll talk about another guy in a minute, but he wrote a much longer version. It was like five or six stanzas to it, much, much longer, and the title was different. His title was Hark How All the Welkin Rings. What's a welkin, right? You're right. That's an old Anglo-Saxon word for the place where the angels live in heaven. That's like their abode in heaven, and that's the welkin. I'm sure you all will remember that. And so he wanted to come up with a tune, and he picked a real somber. He's like, I think it has to have a somber tune, something real somber, and he was trying that out, and it wasn't really working. So then he also wrote another song you might have heard before, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Anybody ever heard of that? You know, the Easter favorite, right? And he tried that tune, too, and actually people started singing that tune with us. In fact, you may not know, but a lot of the hymns, you can switch tunes interchangeably, and they still sound great. In fact, I'm going to try this. Help me out a little bit. Do we have the words up here, Josh, for the song? Okay, there we go. This is how they originally were singing this. It goes something like this. Wait. I'm going to try this. I always butcher, but just help me out. Just, you know, it's just kind of a funny thing, right? All right. I can never start. I don't know how people sing up front. Kira, how did you do that? I don't know how they. I can talk, but singing is really scary. I go, Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, showing the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. You just went back to, yeah. You just went back to 1745, you know, this is back in time, because that's what one of the early, it fits really well, doesn't it? So, anyway, the rest of the story is this. George Whitefield, who was very good friends with John Wesley, in fact, George Whitefield actually started the Great Awakening, and John kind of jumped on the coattails and followed along and organized it. He was the one who made a method of it, the Methodists. George Whitefield, very good friends with him, except when they're arguing about predestination and free will. That's a whole other sermon. But anyway, they were very good friends, and he decided he liked that. He liked the song, but he said, I'm going to improve it. So he shortened it to three verses, which is what we sing today, and he changed some of the words, all right, changed some of the words. He improved it, and he changed the title to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He changed it, and he worked the song and made it better. Charles was ticked. They weren't friends for a couple of weeks. He was very ticked. He was angry. They had a big fight about it because he's very touchy about his artistic creation. You know, artists can be, you know. I'm kidding. But you know how music people can be. But anyway, he was very, very touchy about this, got upset. But it turns out the public loved the new version, loved Whitfield's new version. And no matter what Charles said, he couldn't get people to sing the old version anymore. They just loved it. They liked the new version, and it caught on, and it was big. But no tune caught on, even though, didn't that sound good that the Christ, you know, risen today? That didn't catch on. The somber tunes that Charles tried didn't catch on. And there was no consensus for years. In fact, it wasn't until 1840, 100 years later, 1840, the great German composer Felix Mendelssohn wrote a tune to commemorate, not Christmas, he wrote a tune to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the Gutenberg printing press. He wrote a tune for that, and it was a technology. He didn't want anything religious. He was very adamant. I don't want you to hijack this and use this for religious purposes. This is just to celebrate technology, because he knew it would probably be connected to the printing of the Bible and the Reformation and all that happened through the printing press. But he was real adamant, you cannot use this for religious purposes. So he just wrote this tune. But 15 years later, there's an unknown organist who apparently didn't get the memo. His name was William Cummings, and he liked the tune, and he liked the song, and he connected them together. And 15 years later, this was 1855, and the rest is history. That's how we got the tune, and that's how we got the words. And it's one of the most famous Christmas carols ever, a beautiful song. But this is touching as a song is it's the words that give this Christmas carol, it's power. Powerful, powerful words. It has an amazing theology. It has the gospel is laid out very clearly. In fact, let's read it together here. Josh popped it up again. Just listen to these words without the music. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Think of what the biblical meanings behind this. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offering of the favored one. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Powerful, powerful words there that are just laid out for us. Just God and sinners reconciled. Just that alone is just powerful. God and sinners reconciled. It brings us to Romans 5:10, where Paul is writing and he says, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? We are reconciled through his death on the cross. When Jesus died, he came to be born at Christmas so he could die on a cross as our substitute in our place for our sin. So why? So that we can be reconciled, so that we can be reconnected to his Father, to God his Father. That's why the Son of God died for us, for that reconciliation. And then when he says through his death and his life, when he rose from the dead, he proved he was the Son of God. He showed that he could give us that resurrection power. He showed us that the reconciliation is complete. When we were God's enemies, it says here, we were reconciled to God. How? Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Powerful. While we were still sinners, God sent his son to be born on Christmas to die for us. The whole Connecticut shooting that happened last week, horrible, horrible, heartbreaking, something we can't even process yet. But imagine this. Imagine that this gunman's in the school and he still has more children trapped in the school. And imagine a parent saying, wait, I'll send my child into that school so that you can, I'll send my child into that school so that you can kill my child to let all those other children go free. Imagine that. That would be unthinkable. Would anybody here do that? Nobody would do that. And yet, that's what... No, I'm going to say something even more intense. Now imagine this. Imagine that someone says, I will send my child in so that the gunman can kill him so that the gunman can go free. Would anybody do that? No. But that's what God, our Father, did for us. We are the shooters. We are the gunmen. We are his enemy. And we are the ones, our sin is what killed his son Jesus. And he did it so that we could be forgiven. So that we could be reconciled to him. It's unthinkable, isn't it? It's powerful what Christ did for us. He died for us to set us free and so that we could live, so that we could have life. The hymn says, light and life to all he brings. He did it so that we could have life forever in heaven with God someday. But not only that, it starts now when we put our faith in Christ. Life doesn't start when we get to heaven someday. The life he wants us to live, he wants us to live it here and now. He wants to change our life now. God has a purpose and a plan for our life, and he has this plan, this awesome life for us to live, and he wants us to start that living that life right now. It's not up in heaven someday. It starts now, and it continues in heaven someday. But the life that he always meant us to have, that's why Christ came, to give that to us now. John 10:10, Jesus is talking and he says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Christ came so that we could have a full life, a real life, a fulfilling life, the life he always meant us to have. That's the whole purpose of why he came. I put in the bulletin a bell. Neil Anderson actually came up with these promises, who I am in Christ, but someone put this into a bell and I saved it, a Christmas bell. I want to encourage you to take this home. Just knowing who we are, if we have put our faith in Christ, knowing who we are in Christ, it's amazing. It says, I am free forever from condemnation. There's a lot of them. I'm just going to read a couple. Free from condemnation, Romans 8:1. I am a citizen of heaven. I am significant, Philippians 3:20. I am a minister of reconciliation for God, 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. I have access to God through the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 2:18. I cannot be separated from the love of God, Romans 8:35. I am assured all things work together for good, Romans 8:28. I am chosen and appointed to bear fruit, promise after promise. And then he says at the end, do you know who you are? That's who we are in Jesus Christ. That's the life that God wants us to live in Christ. If we've put our faith in Christ, are you living this full life? Are we experiencing this full life? I want to encourage you to take this and put it somewhere in your Bible, hanging on the fridge, on your bathroom mirror, somewhere at work. Put it somewhere. And start to claim these promises. Pick one that really hits you. The Holy Spirit uses to really hit you. Pick that one promise. Write out the verse and start to claim that promise. Memorize it and take it into your heart and claim that promise and make it your own. And if you need help claiming it, talk to me. Talk to someone. You heard the testimonies last week. Find someone that that you can connect with that can help you through the different battles. But start to claim these. Even if you, and I'm going to say something. There's a lot in there. Maybe there's 40 promises. Even if you do one a year, if you can, one a week would be awesome, but even if you, just one of these promises, if we could take it and make it part of our life and live the truth of it and experience God's full life, that if you did that once a year, 20 years from now, your life would be totally transformed. It's little step at a time, baby step at a time, of those steps of faith. I want to encourage you to do that, to hang it up and to do that. And maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have this life that Christ is talking about yet. You're not sure, how do I get it? The song says, born to give us second birth. born to give us second birth. How do I get this? John 3:3-5 says, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, and he says, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Let me find this one. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. And I'm just going to read it down a little further. I know it's not up there. He says, verse 6, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Every one of us was born of water from our mother, but there's a second birth that must happen to be born into God's kingdom, and that's a spiritual birth. That's a birth that happens in the heart, and it comes through putting our faith. How? John 3:16 tells us how we can have that second birth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Each one of us has to believe to be born again spiritually and to be having the life that God wants us to have now and forever. We have to believe in Jesus. And that word for believe, a lot of people think it's just intellectual belief. No, the word to believe in the Greek language is a lot deeper than just knowing something. It's a belief of the heart. It's giving our, not just knowing Jesus died for us in our place, but putting our faith in him, our trust in him, giving our life to him. That's that step of second birth. Do you have that? Do you have that life in Christ? Let's pray. Maybe you're here today, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you through the children acting out the Christmas story, through the worship, through the Hark the Herald Angels Sing, through the Word of God today. And you're not sure if you've been born from above. You haven't experienced that second birth, the spiritual birth that Jesus is talking about. You can experience that today, right now. You don't need a religious ritual. You don't need a religious person. It's between you and God. And the way we get to God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. Right where you're sitting, just something like this. Say, God, I believe Jesus, your Son, was born and died for me. I ask you to forgive me for everything wrong I've ever done. I ask you to forgive me. I repent. I turn away from the sin, the garbage, the old life, and I want the new life in Jesus Christ that you want to give me. I put my faith in your Son Jesus, and I give my life to him. If you've prayed that prayer of faith, then you've just experienced a second birth. The Holy Spirit has come inside of you, and you're going to be living a brand new life in Jesus Christ. And if you have prayed that, or if you do pray that, I want to encourage you to let me know. Fill out the card, email me, call me. Tell someone that is a good friend of yours that maybe you came with, or you have a good friend. Tell somebody so that we can be excited for you and encourage you and help you grow in your new faith. Because you just experienced a brand new birth. For those of us who have already put our faith in Christ, I just want us to take a few moments to pray about that Christmas bell and what on that list is God speaking to us about. Are we experiencing the light and life that Jesus has brought? What's blocking us? What's keeping us from experiencing the full life that Jesus came? He came to give us life in full. What do we need to let him? What do we need to open up our hands and give to him so that we can experience that? How are we experiencing conviction in some way? What promise do we need to take hold of and to live it no matter how we feel on a given day. We still live that promise that he has given us. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue this work in our hearts. And I pray that every person here would know the life that you have for us in Jesus Christ. I pray this would be a very special Christmas for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.